Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have both of my brothers, Taj and Terrell. How are you guys?
What's going on?
What's going on?
And with us, we have the lowest voice, tone-wise, in Royal. How are you, Royal?
I'm good.
I'm all right.
I'm all right. Why are you all right, son?
I've been sick for a week, which is very unusual for me.
You're sick, huh?
I'm rarely sick.
You're not feeling well?
It's not a bad sickness. It's just a stuffy nose, and it's annoying.
Yeah. Okay, well, what are you doing to...
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, wow. Playing Fortnite.
Yeah. What's the remedy for it?
I tried nasal spray like 3 times, and I'm over it.
It didn't work?
No.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, I can't really help you. But that's where, I guess, Google comes in, and your mother...
You'll be right, wrong.
Yeah. You're talking to the wrong group of people right here. But how's everyone's week going? How have you guys been? I feel like I wasn't here last week,
no,
and
you
then
weren't.
I missed the week prior, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it feels kind of unique to be here right now.
Yeah, I'm actually coming out of a cold.
Are you?
Yeah, I still don't sound 100%.
I hear
I'm a lot
it.
Better than I was.
Okay. I hear it a little bit.
Yeah.
I hear it a little bit.
Wasn't fun.
Okay, tell me about your guys' week. Anything exciting happening?
Taj, you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
I feel like I always start off with baseball.
Hello.
But our team's playing well.
Good.
I think we only got like five, six more games and then the playoffs.
Okay.
Got a game today.
Okay.
But our team's playing well. Adrian made a really good catch in his game. Yes.
Adrian's a little baller.
And Bryce, that game you were going to come to, he got his best hit.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, but it's all right. So our team's playing well. I saw Avengers yesterday, last night.
How'd you like it?
Finally.
I did. Finally is right. I was really pushing it because I didn't want to get any spoilers. But I saw that yesterday.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of hesitation.
Yeah. But, well, the thing is that I had heard things, and it was really hard waiting so long.
Well, I think Taj has said something that is very accurate because without me and watching all the prior ones, I would have just felt it was another superhero movie that was okay, not my style of movie. But when you know all the history of each character, and it makes it that way better. So
yeah.
I think, like, on the next one, I challenge you for next year when the second part comes out to watch every one.
This guy, like, it's cool.
Yeah, he did his homework.
And I'm doing it again.
He did his homework.
So you've seen Doctor Strange's movies?
I have.
Yeah,
I've seen every one.
And that's probably the only one I haven't seen.
Yeah, see, and that's an important one.
Yeah.
It's an important one.
You're absolutely right.
So I would challenge you and strongly advise you to, for next year, you have a whole year, find a time to watch, what is it now, 18 movies?
Yeah.
I've seen a lot, though.
There's on the internet, there's some that, there's like a list that says the must-see ones.
I think they're all
must. I don't
think
I have all that time.
They're not all.
They're all must. They all tie in.
Thor 2 is not a must-see.
Thor 1 and 2 are not must-see.
Thor 1 introduces him.
I haven't seen any of them.
Okay.
All right. Well, enough Marvel talk. Taj, how was your week?
It was good. I don't even remember a lot of it, but been editing. We're editing our music video.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's going great.
You're making me look good?
I'm trying.
It's a lot of work.
Hey, yeah, that's what I say. I'm good with special effects, but that's looking good, and I'm pretty excited about it. But
cool.
That's kind of what I've been up to.
Good. Good. Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
So am I.
Stop. It better be good, Taj, or you're fired.
I know.
Royal, how was your week, man?
Week is, it's been good.
Yeah?
Overall, yeah.
You sound tired, son.
I'm sick and tired.
Well,
you gotta bring the energy, man.
Yeah, come on, man.
Wait, who's not sick energy here besides me?
Me? I'm not sick.
Okay, but were you sick?
I'm not sick anymore.
All right.
I sound sick, though.
No.
All right, good.
But my week was good. The one thing you guys forgot to mention is we launched the new... new Music Heals program.
Yes.
I shouldn't say where.
Yeah.
Because it's still going on, but in the Los Angeles area. And it was just really cool. You know, we had some kids that we did a couple years ago and seen their progress, and it's just really, really cool. And of course, you know, music is such a every time we do one of these things, I realize how blessed we are to be in the music field, because it's such a healing and universal language, and it just really brings happiness out of people. So it was just a really, cool thing.
Oh my gosh. Do you think we take music, kind of the power of music, for granted?
I do.
Because we were born into it?
I do, but you know what else, Taj? It's interesting. Not only do I think that, but I also think, because we grew up in the industry, we've seen the negative sides of it, and that's kind of tainted the pureness of music. Because I believe before, you know, business and all that stuff and everything that goes into it, music's such a pure and great creative language. So I think it's a combination.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great to always see kids smiling and bro, you had a good time, right? It's good for you, man.
It's fun.
Yeah. So it's good. Okay. Well, I guess we should do our little intro first. We are live on the Power of Love show. If you're listening to us right now, thanks for joining us. Later on, we're going to open up Twitter. So if you have any questions and comments regarding our show today, make sure you tweet us at DDJ Foundation, at DDJ Foundation. If you have any questions, like I said, or comments or quotes, anything to contribute to today's show is great and greatly appreciated.
We love them.
We definitely love them. We are not licensed therapists. Remember that. This is our disclaimer. We're not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Very important.
Yes.
Okay. So, you guys ready? Anything else we need to discuss or talk before we jump right into the thick of the show?
No.
You guys look lost, dumbfounded.
No, I mean, we're good. Can we say that where we're going next week?
Yeah, real quick. Yeah, where are we going, though?
Is it next week or 2 weeks from now?
2 weeks.
Two weeks. We're going to Paris.
We're going to France. We are going to Paris, France, to promote a single, Fire, and the Chapter 3 album, which we're really excited about.
And the show in September,
on September 1. And then also, for our listeners, we have a show in Italy and on August 29th. Yeah. We're going to be with some of our uncle's biggest fans celebrating it. It's going to be a fun night, and then there's possibly more stuff in the works.
Yes.
So you got to stay tuned. But that's 3T. So we got to discuss the DD Jackson Foundation. Yes. And
it goes hand in hand.
It does go hand in hand. All right, let's start our show.
Yes.
With us today, listeners, we have Matt Bonick, who is, I don't know if he's still 25, but he's a young man. He's founder and owner of the Positive Vibe Movement. And the Positive Vibe Movement is a clothing line that was inspired with a mission to make an impact towards mental health awareness and suicide prevention, to spread positivity, equality, and love, a support system ensuring no one ever has to feel alone. And obviously, that's something when we heard Matt and heard his story, as you'll see, there's even more of a connection between us and Matt, but it's what DDJF is all about. We're trying to spread positivity, love, and of course equality to everyone. And the PVM, what does that stand for?
The Positive Vibe.
Okay. Hey, I'm just making sure my co-hosts are up
question?
To par.
I don't understand. You just
the Positive Vibe Movement currently donates 5% of all online orders to the Crisis Center of Tampa Bay. So if you want to not only get some cool gear, but you can also be donating at the same time to a worthy cause, make sure you go and purchase something from the Positive Vibe Movement. Matt, are you with us on the phone right now? Hello?
I'm here, guys.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. How are you, Matt?
I'm great. Down here in Florida. I'm still 25.
I like show, that.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Cool. We're happy to have you. How is it in Florida right now? What's the weather like?
85 degrees and sunny.
So it's perfect.
It's
perfect. There's not really a bad day here, and if it rains a little bit, it clears up right away. So it's beautiful.
Cool. So Matt, we know the story. Our listeners don't. But tell us how the Positive Vibe Movement started. I love the story. It's really cool. Tell us a bit of how it started.
Yeah. So taking it back, you know, I played baseball my whole life, you know, so baseball was always my dream. You know, really, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, you know, like Allentown, Pennsylvania, to be specific. And really, you know, I wanted to play Division I baseball, you know, so I finally got the opportunity to play Division I baseball at Kennesaw State, which is right outside of Atlanta in Georgia. And, you know, start at third base, you know, Division I. That's my dream, you know, from a small town in Pennsylvania, you know, to get to be there. That's all I wanted.
Love it.
That year, at one point, we were 2-9 in conference. I started writing PV on my wrist tape just as positive vibes, you know, just to calm me down kind of thing.
Yeah.
We go on a 28, we win 28 of our next 30 games. We win the regional at Florida State. We beat Alabama, and then we lost to Louisville in the Super Regionals. And I mean, no one knew who Kennesaw State was, you know what I'm saying? And the next thing you know, we're on a, you know, national stage.
Wow.
And then to kind of fast forward real quick, you know, everyone on the team's buying into PV, excited about it. You know, it really became a movement before it was even a movement, you know?
Real quick, man, how old are you at the time where you started writing PV on your stuff?
I would have been like 22, I'd say.
Wow.
It's actually funny. I was just, you know, I found a bunch of old hats the other day, and I actually found my hat from Kennesaw State, and like inside it had the PV, you know what I mean? Like,
I love it.
Way before it was even a thing, you know, pretty cool.
I'm sorry, I have to ask one more question. Where did you come up with that? Like, I mean, I'm a positive person. I know, you know, in baseball, it's a game of, my brother always says, the game of failure, because, you know, if you fail,
right,
you know, 2 out of 3 times, you're one of the best, you know?
Right.
What
are you looking at? You said a weird
7 out of 10.
Yeah, if you only have to hit the ball 3 out of 10 times
if you
to
succeed,
be successful.
If you succeed 3 out of 10 times, you're considered.
You said it kind of weird.
If you fail 2 out of 3 times, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd rather bat 333 than 300 anyway. So.
Not everyone's a baseball player, so you got to make it easy.
You get
for
the
people.
Point. In baseball, it's a game of failure where you're going to fail most likely
more than you're going to succeed.
So we kind of grow up with that mentality of you have to remain positive, you have to stay, you know, believing in yourself. But my question to you, Matt, is where does the why PV? Why not something else? Why not a quote? Where did PV come from?
Right. It was just such a little reminder. You know, I was putting so much pressure on myself in that early part of the season. I was not having fun. I was completely, literally putting so much pressure on myself that I couldn't perform, you know, the way I was capable of. And PV was just a little mental note to remind myself, like, you know, whatever's meant to be is going to be, you know, go about this being the best teammate player you can be. You know, I put in the work, you know, whatever's meant to be is going to happen. And that just completely took a pressure off me. And I think that's something you know, take into everyday life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that mindset. If you're putting forward everything you got, you know, just have faith, just believe, because, you know, amazing things will line up. You know what I mean? And that's kind of, you know, how the positive vibe movement has worked.
So staying on the baseball, because obviously we're baseball players ourselves and could talk all day, but we want to get some baseball in. You guys go on to win 28 of your last 32 games, which is amazing, coming from, especially in college sports, and baseball's a game where it's not like, you know, winning 10 games in a row is an easy thing, like in basketball or other sports.
Right.
So that's an impressive winning streak for your school. And then you guys are off to the playoffs. Tell us about how that went that year.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. It was something like I've never been a part of. It was like everything was rolling. It didn't matter who we played. You know what I mean? Obviously, a team like a Kennesaw State going up against a SEC, Alabama, or, you know what I mean, playing a team like Louisville in front of, you know, 8,000 fans going nuts with, you know, all Louisville fans and then maybe 100 Kennesaw fans. Like, it was, you know what I mean? It was
David versus Goliath.
It was amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. It was amazing. And honestly, like, getting to play in those environments and seeing how we handled ourselves as a team and we're able to compete with those teams, I think that was really good exposure, you know, for the school moving forward. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But really, as far as the whole story really takes a shift, is I couldn't afford, being an out-of-state kid. Everyone's in the state of Georgia paying $6,000, like $8,000, something like that. I'm out-of-state tuition paying over $35,000.
Right.
That was a big hit, you know?
Yeah.
I had a brother and sister who both weren't in college yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of a situation where it was like, you know, that's a lot of money to go back for a senior year and not even be finished with a degree. So then you're looking at money to finish a degree that next fall. You're looking at upwards of $50,000. You know what I mean? Is that worth it, you know?
Yeah.
I was able to sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to, you know, try to start this new chapter in my life. maybe get into coaching or something. Mm-hmm. I had a bunch of awesome relationships. So I went back and I had the opportunity. I worked a whole year, just a bunch of different jobs, trying to see what I liked and didn't like. You know, obviously the first year out of baseball, it's tough. But ultimately got the opportunity to be a manager at Florida State, you know, a prestigious baseball school. But I'm going to be honest, you know, it was extremely hard to, that was literally, you know, where it all started for me. I went to Tallahassee Community College, and that's right down the street from Florida State. So that's where I ultimately wanted to play and to win and have the opportunity to win, on that field and dogpile on that field. You know what I mean? It's something I'll never forget, you know? Yeah. And in the same sense, when I was going and working these practices and doing laundry and stuff like that, it was so tough to sit there and be able to see where my, like, literally visualize where my family was, you know, me as a player dogpiling on that field to, you know, a year and a half later, you're doing laundry, you know what I mean? For some of your buddies that are on the team, you know, it was,
it's tough.
It was very humbling, and it was, it was hard. Yeah, it really was. But that was kind of ultimately what really started PV, you know what I mean? That pain.
Right, right. Matt, this is Terrell talking. The last couple of weeks we've done shows dealing with failure, taking a negative and turning it into a positive. This is obviously a great example of that. You guys starting your with the team 2-9, and then you take a negative, you turn it into a positive, and obviously the whole team buys into a whole different mindset, and you guys go on this tremendous run. And then once again, you're hit with the transition of moving out of baseball. I want to ask you, your mentality, what kept you going forward? Because I know baseball alone is a very mental game, and it's very difficult, and the odds are against you every time you're at that plate. What did you have a support system? How did you keep going? Because obviously it's hard transitioning out of something that you love so much and that you're doing constantly. How did you get through those times?
Honestly, it's, you know, like you said, support system. That pain of being there at, you know, Florida State doing that stuff, it ultimately showed me, like, this isn't what I want to do with the rest of my life. During those dark times of feeling like, what do I want to, I always was part of a team. You know what I mean? It was always, I was, since I was little, you know what I mean? T-ball up. I always had a group of boys that I could count on. You know what I mean? It was never, I had to go find friends, nothing like that. And the support system, it really hit me with, like, you know, the suicide prevention is very close to my family specifically, I'll say, you know, and it got me thinking about how amazing my family is and the support and love that there is. And I was very thankful for that. But that's ultimately what motivated the movement. You know, the thought of never wanting anyone to feel alone, you know, mm-hmm. I was very fortunate to have a support system. But in those dark times, I was able to look at myself in the mirror and say, a lot of people aren't as fortunate as me to have that support system. So how can I create a community or something that no one ever has to feel alone? The reality is all that cool stuff happened with PV and stuff like that at Kennesaw. But the truth is, I had like a sketch pad from day one, and it was originally, I wanted to call it Never Alone, because I wanted no one to ever feel alone. You know what I mean? That's kind of my passion behind it.
What age were you when you started that, the Never Alone? Or started thinking about that?
Yeah, it would have been the first year out of baseball, so I'm sitting like probably 22 years old, 23, 22. I mean, we've been doing, it's been 2.5 years so far. So.
Good for you, man.
But yeah, just, good for you know.
Now, I think this hopefully, I shouldn't say hopefully, because I could talk baseball, but I'm going to try to make this baseball. We're allowed, right, Terrell?
Yeah, it's a ball player.
And plus, you're coaching a team.
Yeah, so. I got some questions. Well,
I always defend baseball, because I think baseball is an incredible sport, because it teaches you, how to win and lose, but it also teaches you how to work together. Like, yeah, you basically have to work as a team to win. Like, one person can't carry the team.
And here's something that I think, which is so cool, Matt's case, is that their run going from 2-9, where it's losing, 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 and once you start off a season losing, it's easy to throw in the towel.
Yeah, just
get and up. Just have a horrible season. You know, it's your body language is terrible. Your negative energy is terrible. It's just easy to get sucked into that trap. And it's just so cool to me that two letters or a simple concept can, something that's not even done on the field, can change the whole chemistry of a team and everyone's future, even. You know what I mean? Matt's taken an experience by going to, you know, the College World Series and playing against these even much bigger schools. That's something that PV contributed to. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it didn't start with a new bat shipment coming in. It started with a mentality.
Yeah.
Matt, let me ask you this. This is what I want to ask you. And no flubbing here. No making yourself sound good. Were you a starter, and where in the lineup were you hitting?
Yeah, I started at third base.
Yep.
And I hit probably, I would say, sixth or seventh.
Okay.
And hey, at the end of the day, we had, you know, to be honest, we are 3 and 4 hole hitters. You know, Max Pentecost went in the first round of the Blue Jays, and Bo Way went, you know, seventh round of the Angels. So I was, we had a heck of a team. And at the end of the day, eight guys ended up getting drafted that were all part of that team. So it was no slouches. I was cool with hitting sixth on that team.
Well, the reason why I'm asking, not to test your ability or to gauge you, but the reason why I'm asking is because, like you just said, the third and fourth hitter are usually the most, you know,
the strongest
hitters, the most admired hitters, and the ones who are seen as the ones who are going to pull your team and lead your team. But I love hearing this, because he wasn't a third or fourth hitter. He was further down, but still, in my opinion, had the biggest impact on the team. And I think that's just a cool lesson in itself, that in anything you do in life, if you're part of something, part of a group, part of a family, part of anything, no matter what your position is, you can have the biggest influence and biggest impact.
Can I interject in that? Please. As someone that's played,
that's
never hit in the fourth spot, but has hit in the third spot before.
Let's hear it.
But then also hit in the fifth and sixth and seventh spot.
I'm listening.
I looked at it as, because for the All-Star, 12-year-old All-Star, I was, I think, a fifth or sixth hitter.
I'm listening.
Keep listening. I think
according to 12-year-old,
you made it a good point in terms of you know everyone counts on the third or fourth hitter, but if they don't come through, it's kind of like you take it on yourself to say, hey, I'm going to come through. And that's the thing, because I think people, I don't know. For me, I never looked at it as spots. I didn't look at it as like, oh, you know, I'm hitting six, so I don't need to do. It's like, I was like, I'm hitting six, so I'm going to be the third or the second around third person hitting.
Gotcha.
I think
a big, I think ultimately a big thing there is like when you get to the Division I level, you know, every batter 1 through 9 hit third and fourth on their team in high school or their team in college. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
They're all good.
Like, that's the reality. When you get to that level, you know, everyone can play.
I think the big thing is,
you know, for me, and this is one thing, you know, anyone listening out there, any advice, the reason all these things are happening, you know, it's being a good teammate. You know, I mean that, you know, there was a while back where I had a coach, his name was Coach Weber. I was my coach in North Parkland, and I was, you know, probably in the, I'd say just early high school. And he challenged me and said, like, you could definitely play at a high level, but you're not a good teammate. And that minute that happened, you know, I took my being a leader, you know what I mean, to a new level. And, you know, in high school, I was the first junior captain, and my junior college, I was a captain. Like, I always took that role very serious. And I knew that you could make a huge impact in the game just by lifting up your boys. You know what I mean? Hey, if I don't have no hits, but I'm there to pick up my guy that's hitting in the three hole that might have not got a hit his first two at-bats, but hey, say, hey, man, you're going to get it this third time. Or, you know, just to be there for the guy that hasn't played in four games that might get an at-bat in the eighth inning this game that's going to help win our, you know, lead our team to a win, but he's sitting there, like, pissed he didn't play the last couple games. Like, those are all little things that count, and you really don't realize it until you're done playing, you know, of the impact you made.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the big thing for me. You never could tell if I was 0 for my last 10 or 10 for my last 10 based on how I was treating my brothers in the dugout. You know what I mean? And that's a big thing. And a lot of times, you know, people don't, you know, they might come off as maybe selfish or something like that, or really caring about their stats. Mm-hmm. But I think when you put that out the door, that's when your team starts doing special things.
That's
cool. Let me ask you a question, because that's a great point. And obviously we played baseball, so we know about that in terms of, like, lifting up your teammates, mm-hmm. because you're only as strong as your weakest link. But did you translate that into life itself? Because it's a different world out there in terms of, like, we're kind of taught in a way, don't help other people because it could hurt you, kind of like get ahead. And I think that's the wrong message. You know, I think I still carry that team message, but that's not what a lot of we're promoted. You know, we're promoted, get ahead, you know, look out for yourself. Yeah. And it's complete opposite of, you know, growing up playing baseball. It's complete opposite.
Right. Yeah, I just think a lot of it comes down to you as a person. You know what I mean? And I genuinely think, you know, what kind of in a sense, you know, what goes around comes around. You know, bring that good energy. And if things aren't lining up the way you want right now in your life, that's okay. Because keep pushing and it might. You know what I mean? And ultimately, like, I would never, you know, even today when someone reaches out or something, you know, I'm going to give the best advice that I can give. You know what I mean? Whatever's meant to be is going to be. I know where PB is going to be in a bunch of years because I know the work I'm putting in, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's enough for everyone to succeed in this world. That's what I believe.
That's right. That's right. Todd, you're amazing.
Thank
Joe,
you.
Joe, did you have a quick
question? Yeah, Matt, did you grow up playing any other sports?
I played basketball and football, you know, growing up, but baseball was always the you know, the passion.
Yeah,
there was.
I feel you on that.
That was always the fire. That's what I wanted for sure.
When you had that interaction with your high school coach, I'm curious. I'm a parent. Terrell's a parent as well, but I always go to parenting. When you said you were 14, right?
I was like in the early, I'd say early high school. Definitely an impressionable age and a situation where I was definitely the hot shot on the team, and where I had an opportunity to, you know, help some of the younger guys. I probably, you know, definitely was more of that selfish player, like wanting to, you know, just hit home runs and do my thing.
So Coach Weber had this huge influence on you by kind of humbling yourself by saying, you're a great player, but you're missing half of the importance and you could be a much better teammate.
Right.
Did you know at that time the power of that? Because that's something that is so important, and I respect Coach Weber, and I don't think enough high school coaches or even people who have influence on kids express that enough. You know, there's more than just succeeding at the task at hand. There's a proper way to go about it, and there's more of a role. Tell me about, like, did you understand what nugget Coach Weber gave you at that time?
Yeah, I literally, you know, I can even picture getting in the car with my mom after and telling her and just being so mad, you know what I mean? So angry at, like, that's what was said about me, you know what I mean? Like, I would have never wanted, you know what I mean? Like, my family, you know, they work very hard and they're great people and just, like, genuine good people. And that's not me, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what I wanted to be remembered as, you know?
Yeah, I love
so it. From that day forward, like, I mean, literally that next year, I was probably, it was a summer ball team, you know, Coach Weber coached the summer ball team, but I would have been coming off my sophomore year of high school. So going into that, yeah, I mean, I literally went back, and Coach Weber, it's kind of cool how things work, but he got the head coaching job at the biggest high school where I'm from, Parkland High School.
Boy,
and I went back last year, and I gave a speech to their team right before the playoffs. And it was one of the most surreal things, just seeing how full circle that came, you know, being able to bring that up. Like, that's why Coach Weber is such a good coach.
Yep.
He saw that in me and challenged me. And how many people would have just said, oh, it's the best player on the team. You know, who cares? Good season, hand in your jersey.
And
Coach Weber said, I'm going to, you know.
And it sounds like he deserved that job, for sure.
Quick question for you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, amazing.
Quick question, Matt. When Coach Weber told you that you weren't a good teammate, did you agree with him? Did you disagree
being
with
mature,
him? And then it take a while for you to
back. Oh.
Sorry, go ahead.
100%. I'm just saying, 100% agree with him. You know, looking back and being mature about it, I'm sure in the moment I was a little upset. Obviously.
Right. So how long did it take for you to actually see, like, okay, maybe I can do more? Did it take
when I started realizing that I was the only kid in my high school that started on varsity as a sophomore, I realized that when I was a junior, all those kids that were on JV, that were my buddies in my class, were going to be playing varsity for the first time. So I knew it was like the first time in this new school, this opportunity that I could be like the leader. Like, I had the experience that none of these guys had yet. Mm-hmm. And I knew that they kind of looked up to me in a sense of, like, I played varsity as a sophomore. I just, you know, I've always been a hardworking kid, and if he'd have told me that, you know, a year ago, I would have changed it then, too. You know, it's just that I needed a little wake-up call, and thankful it happened, you know, early enough.
Okay, I want to fast forward to college. So, and explained this earlier in the show, but I wanted to kind of unfold it a bit. So you just finished your junior year. You just finished the magical run at Kennesaw State, and then I don't know if all of our listeners understand, but because you're from a different state, you have a different tuition that you would have to owe to stay in college. And that would be way more than what it would, you said, in the upwards of $35,000 compared to if you're born and a resident of Georgia, right? You would have only had to pay maybe somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000. So that, did you ever feel like robbed in a way, or yeah. Did you ever feel
robbed? Honestly, I absolutely, you know, I worked my whole life to have that opportunity to play on that stage. I did feel like it was kind of just taken from me. I also kind of was realistic about it in the sense of, like, if it was meant to be for me to get drafted and live that dream, I truly think it would have happened that year. And I say that because, you know, I was sitting in the same batting practice group as Pentecost, and, you know, he went in the first round. There was 30 scouts to see him every day, you know?
Right.
I just truly felt like, I've always been like that. Like, I feel like, you know, what's meant to be will be. And then I truly was able to have ease with that and say, you know what, if it didn't happen at, you know, the junior college in Tallahassee, it didn't happen here. Maybe I can, you know I bring value in some sense of what I can do for this world. You know what I mean? And, and maybe it's not this. Maybe this is where I take a step back and I say that it paid, you know, to be a good teammate, because there's been countless situations where people have been more than willing to introduce me to one of their teammates or someone that, you know, might be in the big leagues or something like that because of them knowing me as a person and know how I am. You know what I mean? I think, you know, real recognize real. And that's one thing I've always, you know, my best friend back home, Eric Bender, told me that, you know, years and years and years ago. And that's the truth. You know what I mean? I think that all comes full circle in life. You know what I mean? I feel like you can sense that. You really can.
That's so strong, man, because I think that's what, something that especially our youth, but I think everyone can hear it, is that, you know, you bring some type of energy to whoever's around you. So always try to be the best person you can be. Try to be a positive person, and you can make an imprint on someone in ways you didn't even know you really could. Okay, so let's fast forward to the positive vibe movement. So then you launched this company. You are, I'm going to guess, around 22 and a half, 23 when you start, technically start the company. Is that about right? When you
yeah, I'd say that.
Okay, so when you decide to do something like this, did you know from the get-go it would be a clothing company? Did you have ideas of what you wanted it exactly to be? And tell us about that process. Were you, was there fear? Was there hope? What, tell us about that process.
Right. Yeah, I was honestly so excited in the beginning. I had the logo, and I didn't know what, you know, I knew I was going to put it on clothing, but I didn't know if ultimately that was where I was going to go with it. The first year we had a podcast. It was on iTunes. It was cool. You know, I enjoyed doing it. It just, when you do everything yourself, you gotta prioritize. Maybe in 2 years that'll come around again. But doing everything by yourself, you know, it wasn't, the timing wasn't there, kind of thing. I did some public speaking in the beginning. Still, if, you know, any opportunity I get to speak and stuff like that, you know, I love it. I love being able to, you know, make that impact. But ultimately, if we're being honest, like, the clothing is my passion. I've always been like, you know, maybe when I was coming up or something, like, I couldn't afford this or I couldn't afford that, but I always, like, really had, you know, the style was always important to me, you know what I mean? And I always knew what I wanted one day when I could afford some of the things I wanted, kind of thing, growing up. You know, when you couldn't afford the expensive Jordan shorts in middle school, you know, and then it's just like, one day I want that. So, you know, I always knew what was fresh. I just couldn't always afford it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I always knew how exciting it was, you know, to get something. So it's like, I take such pride in, like, the details and, like, the packaging and stuff like that and the personal notes, just because I know how cool it is. The fact that they spent their hard earned money on, you know, my dream, ultimately, it's amazing. I put so much energy into the clothing because I think it's so amazing. Like, when someone puts on a shirt and they go, you know, I'll get, people will tag us and stuff. Some, I remember specifically this one kid wore the PV shirt the first day of school. And I thought that was so cool, because how many times day one, first day of school, you're trying to bring out the swaggiest you've got. You know what I'm saying? Trying to impress all the girls. You're trying to, you know what I mean? You're trying to feel like the boss. And this kid, you know, wore a PV shirt day one, you know, with his fresh pair of kicks. And I just was like, you know what? Those little things are keep me going, are the messages that say how much, you know, they got the shirt just at the perfect time because they were really going through a tough time, things like that. Ultimately, you know, PV, you know, PV Nation, I want ultimately to be a, you know, a support system for everyone, that regardless of what you've been through or where you're at currently, you know, you can be a part.
That's so cool. And first of all, I have to say, you said Jordan shorts, right? Because when we were young, it was Jordan shoes. but it's just funny that Jordan shorts. It's cool to hear you say that. Okay, so What is the future for PV? Are you? Is it just going to be clothes? Is it going to be other types of things you want? I know you mentioned maybe the podcast or something, but what do you envision ideally 5 years down the road for PV?
Yeah, I honestly see this being the opportunity to truly make an impact, and maybe we start our own foundation at some point and really be, you know, showing these people what the impact we're making. You know what I mean? I think that's amazing to be able to do that. I see the clothing we're getting in stores slowly but surely. The online sales have been amazing. We just did a collab tee recently, and it's the response has been, you know, through the roof. And just seeing all those things happening because of the work we're putting in, you know, I know what I put in, and I know I don't quit. So, you know, I ultimately, yeah, I want this to be a world known brand, but I also want it to be, you know, not tacky. I want it to be fresh. I've been very passionate about everything being like something that someone could wear in a post game interview or wear out or even wear to work out. You know what I mean?
It's great.
And, you know, the response we've had and stuff like that from some of the athletes, some of the stars has been amazing. And it's really encouraged us to put a lot of pressure into this area, you know, the clothing and things like that. And but yeah, that's where ultimately I want to go is to really continue to blow up the clothing and, you know, let everyone know what the movement is. And then ultimately, yeah, I would like to go into some form of radio or some form of like a podcast show, because I think there's so much power in words.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
So
I just think there's so, you know, there's a lot and everyone has a story. I love that.
Yeah, and for our listeners, what would you tell them in terms of, like, if they're going through something right now? And because a lot of them ask that question in terms of if you could sit there and say something to them, or if you were in person and talk to them, what would you tell them when they're going through something and all seems lost?
Yeah. I would say, you know, keep going. Keep pushing, you know, because when the days are dark and it feels like you can't go anymore, a lot of times there's, you know, that wall right on the other side. Have you guys seen that cool meme or whatever? And it's like the guy's digging for diamonds and stuff, and he quits, he leaves, and there's like that thin layer, and he was very close to cracking open the diamonds, you know what I mean, and getting it, but he quit.
Yeah.
And that's truly how I feel about life. You know, I feel like there's going to be huge obstacles in front of us, but it's what you can take from each obstacle to build yourself into the best version you can be.
So true.
I would say, honestly, I would say try to find a support system. If you don't have a support system or feel like you're alone, there's many things where you can reach out and get on the phone and talk to someone. And I think that's powerful, because to be able to pick up a phone and call like a 24/7 helpline or something, and to be able to literally talk to someone where you feel zero sense of judgment, they don't know what you look like, that whole thing, that's a very therapeutic thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think my biggest thing for advice, don't think you're like too good to get help, because until I realized like the huge like impact of the world of the mental health awareness and the suicide prevention aspect, like there's, you know, even now in sports, a lot more people are, you know, Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, like they're coming out and saying like the mental health is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, don't ever be embarrassed, because you need help, because we, you know, at a time we all need help. You know what I mean? And that's what I, you know, ultimately do. Another thing, like kind of last question, but I just thought about it, was we do so much thing with like a bunch of guys in the MLB. So there's, you know, pictures out there from guys like Mike Trout, I mean, Cody Bellinger, you know, a bunch of stars, Javier Baez, Byron Buxton, wearing the gear.
That's great.
And I think there's so much opportunity moving forward with really doing some like home run derbies, like these special events in these different cities where we can get all the kids out, all the people out, give a powerful public speaking message, but also have some of these pros put on a home run derby for these kids and stuff, and really just like get out there and like make an impact. And that whole, you know, the whole anti-bullying, all that stuff has always been like my heart. So, you know, that's where I really want to, you know, grow.
That's great. It's very strong and sound advice from a 25-year-old. So I'm impressed. It's really impressive, Matt.
Matt, I had I thought I heard you say that you managed or coached at some point?
At Florida State, I was a manager, which I wanted to get into coaching, but I'll tell you what, it wasn't very.
Yeah, I want you to speak a little bit about managing and you know, the kids that you were coaching and managing. How were they different from your era of your time coming up? Did you see anything different?
I would say Not really, because it's not like I ever felt like I'm trying to think how to put this. My biggest thing was I was very shy. If I would have just been completely out, if my personality out front would be outgoing and this talker, I would have loved it. You know what I mean? Because it's right. not like the players treated me any different. You know what I mean? They all knew I played on Division I baseball and played at that, you know, on that field. So I got respect in that sense, you know? It's just, I personally felt so lost just because I was like, I wasn't, you know, I've chased this dream for my whole life and worked so hard. I feel like I shouldn't be doing laundry. You know what I mean? I felt like that wasn't the direction I wanted to go in. You know what I mean?
Right. And then my second question is what is your relationship with baseball now? Do you still play? Do you not play? Because I have friends that used to play and they don't even want to pick up a ball because it's too painful right. or they don't want to bring back those memories. What is your relationship with baseball now?
I mean, I do so – honestly, like as far as TV, I don't really watch baseball, if we're being honest. a lot of my relationships not, are in not, baseball yeah. because that's what I – all I knew and stuff. But, you know, I if I'm watching a player that, like, is my buddy's on TV, I'll watch. I'll tune in all day, you know. But, you know, it is harder to watch sometimes. But playoff baseball, I mean, I'm tuned in.
Yeah.
I don't I feel any ways like that. In the beginning, it was definitely hard. That first year, that PB wasn't a thing, and it was just – working a bunch of these little jobs, seeing if I want to, you know, do this, I want to do that. Like, that's when it was hard. That's when I was kind of more in the sense of, like, mad at the game in a sense of, like, why am I not still playing? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I feel like you grow and you mature at different rates. And that's something that, like, I talked to my parents about, who, by the way, you know, most amazing support you can get, you know, my family and, you know, my brother, my sister, you know, grandparents, my whole life. It was, you know, very much support and love, you know.
Can I say something about that? But ultimately, I just, with your parents.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because when you talked about the Coach Weber situation as well, and you said that you told your mom like when you got into the car or something, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
I want to commend your mom because nowadays it's kind of like they would have went after the coach and said, "How dare you speak to my son about this? You know, true. You know, how dare you yeah. degrade my son without me there?" I mean, there, right. there's parents that do that, you know, and it's like.
Yeah.
She let you grow. She actually, you know, it's like that we, you know, parents sometimes they protect so much that they actually hurt the kid. In
yeah.
a way.
Matt, do you remember right. your mother's reaction to hearing about that or with that situation?
Yeah, I do. Just because she was like, are you going to take that as a challenge or are you going to crumble up?
That's great.
And she knew where I would, she knew what I was going to do from it. Like my mom and dad literally, they're the model parents that every coach would ever want to have yeah. as their kids' parents because never once did they complain to coaches. It was always – I think one thing that helped me was my cousin played Division I baseball at Coastal Carolina. He got drafted by the Yankees. We used to go down and see him play, and it was like we kind of got the taste of what big-time legit baseball was. Mm-hmm. So my dad, until I got serious and put in the work to get to that level, he never was – going to be involved with a coach or say something to a coach because he knew that how much more work I needed to put in, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
To even get to the point of like, you know what I mean? And it's like we always would have to talk right in the car. He would never get out or say something to a coach. We'd talk about it in the car. And when I was young and I'd make excuses of why I made an error or it was the field's fault, it took a tough bounce,
yeah.
man, it was letting me know that stop, take ownership. You know, I learned so many lessons through baseball. Like you said, so much failure is like, I'll forever be thankful to the game because
it's great.
It set me up for life. It really has. You know what I mean? It set me up. The relationships and people I've met, it, you know, invaluable. You can't put a price on that.
Love it. Well, first of all, Matt, thanks for joining us. Everyone listening, make sure you follow the Positive Vibe Movement on Instagram. Again, it's at the Positive Vibe Movement. And please go out, support Matt. The website for clothes is www.thepositivevibemovement.com. There's some really cool gear. I saw some hats, some shirts, some really cool stuff. Matt, one thing to you too, quickly. Have you thought about maybe doing like wristbands or bracelets for athletes with positive either quotes or even the PV on there so that when they're down and out, they can kind of take a glance like you did? Has that been a consideration?
Right, yeah, Yeah, I think a big thing that we're kind of working on, we just got some really cool stickers made. And, I mean, I know it's not specific towards baseball in that sense,
yeah,
but
yeah.
we're doing bat knobs where It's like that sticker you can put on the bottom of your bat.
Love it.
So it's like a constant reminder. You could be in the batter's box, you look down, you see that PV logo, you're like, deep breath. All right, let's do this. You know what I'm saying? So,
I love it. But
as far as wristbands and stuff like that, it's all going to come, you know, with the development and whatnot.
Well, we're on your side, man, and we're wishing you the best, and we love what you're doing. Again, to everyone, don't forget 5% of the sales go to online orders, goes to Crisis Center of Tampa Bay. And again, you're spreading love, positivity, and equality and everything. Matt, when we finish out a show, we always give our listeners 30 seconds or so to say whatever it is they want, anything we may have missed. You can promote yourself, you can say one quote, you could do whatever you want, but we're going to give you 30 seconds if that's cool about that. If you're rolling and you want more, go ahead and take more, but we want to give you some time to say whatever you want to say.
Okay, awesome. Well, first off, I want to thank you guys so much for, you know, giving me the opportunity to, you know, share my story and my mission for the Positive Vibe Movement. But yeah, I want to, you know, give us this. My grandpa just recently passed away, and he was, you know, one of the biggest influences in my whole life. And, you know, he was, talk about the power of love. You know, he was happily married to my grandma for 69 years. But he was such an amazing dude for my family. And, you know, I kind of just want to use these 30 seconds just to give him a tribute, you know, because, you know, all the stuff you're hearing, all the positive, you know, that stems from him and my grandma, you know what I mean? And they instilled that family vibe and that love and treating people the right way. And I'll forever be grateful for that. And, you know, this is truly just the beginning for PV. And, you know, I know I'm going to continue to make him proud.
Love it.
Wonderful.
Love it. One more time, his name, Matt. Your grandfather?
Paul Bonick. Yeah, that's my grandpa. Yeah, everyone called him G-Paul. And it was amazing to see the support. You know, they had an RV, a motorhome, and they've been to every single state capital in the motorhome. They've been to, I mean, they had Penn State season tickets since the 70s. They'd go to away games, home games, in the RV, everywhere. And they would follow me. You know, they came down to Kennesaw for 2 months. They came to Tallahassee for 2 months. You know, everyone knew when they saw me and they knew me, they knew G-Mon, G-Paul were in the stands. And not a lot of kids get that opportunity. And that's something I'll forever be grateful for. It's
beautiful, man.
That's wonderful.
It's beautiful. And it's so cool to see how, you know, two figures can spread love within their family by just being there and being supportive and being figures of love. So thank you for sharing
that.
This
says a lot about you too, Matt.
Yeah, and I'm very impressed by you, man. So we're on your side, and whatever you need, you reach out to us, and we'd love to support you, okay?
Well, I appreciate that so much. And like I said, I just want to thank you guys again for the opportunity.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you,
buddy. All right, that's our show. Matt, we're going to let you go. We're going to close out the show, but thanks again for joining us, man.
Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely. You guys have a great rest of the day, all right?
You too, buddy.
We will.
Bye-bye.
Such a cool...
Yeah. I love his... 25?
That says a lot about him.
25, yes.
That's 25.
Yeah, it's impressive.
See you in, what, 7 years, Ron?
Yeah.
So, but what did you guys think? We have 1 minute, but...
No, I mean, I love it. Yeah. I mean... Everything is it's exactly what we were talking about the last couple shows, taking the negative, turning it into a positive, and just, you know, when one door closes, another opens, yeah. And I think he's doing something great. He's helping others. You know, we don't always reach our dreams, but our dreams aren't always what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really know where we're going to end up, and I think he's done great. I'm very happy for him. I wish him the best. And like you said, we're here to help him.
Yeah.
Any way possible.
And to piggyback off that, Tara, I just commend him because not only is he donating a portion of his sales to a foundation, but he's promoting mental health and suicide prevention, which is something that I feel, especially in today's day and with, you know, online issues and everything, needs to be trumpeted.
It's important.
But also he's building, following his dream with the clothing, but he's doing it in a positive way. So every time someone purchases something, they're spreading love beyond the sales, beyond the contribution to the foundation. But when they're wearing that shirt at the grocery store and someone sees that shirt, because we all read what shirts we're wearing, it's spreading positivity. So that was cool to me. Todd, do you have anything else?
No, just birthday shout out.
Yeah, let's do it real quick.
Marlene. One of our listeners,
hey,
Marlene.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Marlene.
So she's actually not listening now because she's celebrating her birthday, but she'll be listening later. She's always listening before. So.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Roy, you got anything to close the show?
No.
No? You're still Kamazi's 25, right? Yeah. What were you going to say, Taj? Anything?
No, no.
Okay. Well, that's our show, everyone. Thank you again for supporting us, for listening in. We had Matt Bonick from the Positive Vibe Movement. Again, the website's www.thepositivevibemovement.com. Great clothes there. Purchase something. Spread love in this world. And that's it. We're going to see you next Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And have a wonderful rest of your week.
Yes.
Adios. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.